Hey, we are starting just a 2-week series to kind of lead us up to our Christmas party, and that series is called This Christmas, How to Be Different. How to make this Christmas different and better than any other Christmas that you've ever had. And so on your discussion guide, you're going to, on the back side of that, there's a listening guide that you can fill out and follow along. But, you know, growing up in my house, you guys talked a little bit about your house and your traditions. Growing up as a child in my house, Christmas was the best day of the year. It was my favorite holiday. But even though it was so great and magical, it wasn't always perfect. It wasn't always happy. You know, there was conflict. And if you ever had a big family Christmas get-together or Christmas morning opening presents where everything was supposed to be perfect and it's Christmas, you're with your family, there's food, there's presents, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and then something happens that just throws it all off. Someone gets mad, or there's a fight, or you're upset about a present, and the whole mood is ruined. You've been around a family gathering where maybe that has happened, and you've probably been there. Maybe it looks a little bit like it looked in the movie Home Alone. Maybe you can relate. Have you ever been in his shoes where it seems like it's all your fault, you can't do anything right, everyone's looking at you, and everyone's mad? You know why that happens? It's because our first point right here, no family is perfect. No family is perfect. They come in all shapes and sizes. No matter what your family looks like, though, there's one thing that's for sure. It's not perfect. There's another thing that's for sure. Even though it's not perfect, I promise you, you love your family. Even though it may not feel like it, you love your family. And I promise you, even though it may not feel like it, they love you. Now, because your family isn't perfect, it's going to have conflict. It's going to get tense and stressful. They'll be fighting. They'll be yelling. I don't know what it is about the holidays. Maybe it's just because our families are, you know, closer together for longer periods of time, especially during this COVID season. You maybe experienced this where you're indoors, you're spending lots more time together. You know, during the holidays, families are going to fight more than usual. There might be some tough things that happen over these next few weeks. And we fight for lots of different reasons. Blow-ups like that happen for lots of different reasons. Most of the time, it's not just because someone pushed someone. There's a lot more behind it. And so maybe you fight because you're different. Maybe you feel like you are different than everyone else in your family. Maybe you think, I don't fit in with this family. I don't belong in this family. Why can't I just leave or do something different? Because you feel so different and so out of place. And people are different. When you put lots of different people with opinions and personalities and perspectives in the same place for long periods of time, there's going to be conflict. And so we fight. Maybe you fight because you've hurt each other before. You've probably heard it said, you know, that hurt people hurt people. When you've been hurt, you tend to lash out more easily. You tend to hurt others more. When it comes to our family members, we've got records of pain and hurt and insults and that span our whole life. And so with that history, sometimes it's hard not to let that resentment bubble up into bitterness and fighting. There's a couple other reasons we might fight. Maybe you're just tired. Man, so many of us, I think right now, are just tired with quarantine, with COVID, with masks, with school, with different routine, and now you put all that stress into the holidays, and we're tired. And you know what you do when you're tired? You get angry, you lash out, and you're drained. And so when we're tired, our families often get the worst of us. And what it all boils down to is this, though. We fight because we have a sinful heart. You have a sinful heart. And let's face it, this is the reason why we fight, why we blow up, why we think and say things that we shouldn't about our family, about our friends, about ourselves, is because deep down we have this sinful nature that is just ingrained in us, that we were born with, that makes us want to do wrong and to bend away from God and to seek after sin. Even though we might think we don't want to sin, the sinful nature in us pushes us to want to sin, to want to fight and cause tension. That's why the first step to understanding that your family isn't perfect is recognizing that you're not perfect, that there's an imperfection in you, and it's called sin. And the only thing you can do about your sinful heart is repent, turn back to God when you do wrong, and start following Christ again. And so I get it. I'm guilty of it. We sometimes treat our family in ways that we wouldn't treat anyone else. And why is that? But we're talking about for the next 2 weeks, making this Christmas different. To stop all this stuff and making it different. And so today I'm going to challenge us to imagine what Christmas could look like and be like if we treated our families, our friends, the people around us, and ourselves differently. In the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, go ahead and turn there. The Apostle Paul writes a letter to a group of Christians that is full of advice on how to better follow Jesus, how to better live a life of faith. He's not specifically talking about family right here. Oh, yeah, the Bibles looks like they were put down, so thanks, Sarah. Grab a Bible in the back if you don't have one. So Paul isn't specifically talking about living with your family right here, but listen to what he has to say and just imagine what it means for all of our life if we could put this into practice and change and be different. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk, to live in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, the worthy of being a Christian, a Christ follower. Live in a manner worthy of that calling, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. So Paul goes on through this chapter to encourage followers to live with this unity with each other as the body of Christ, because we're all in this together, and we need to love and serve and live and work together. And then he goes on to say this at the end of the chapter, verses 31 and 32. So let all bitterness and all wrath, all your anger, all your clamor, your fighting, you know, your bickering, and all your slander, your insulting and back-talking to people be put away from you, along with all malice, you know, evil and hatred. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted or compassionate, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So that's a powerful and difficult challenge, to turn away from those evil, sinful things that are in our heart. I mean, all those things are in our heart and they're trying to get out, to turn away from those and turn towards the attitudes and behaviors that God is calling us to there. And so it comes down to something I hope you'll remember throughout the season when it comes to your family, and it's this, so you can remind yourself this, that you need your family, and your family needs you. No matter how much you think, oh, if I just had a different family, if my parents were different, if I could just get away from this family, if I could run away, if I could be somewhere else, it would be better. But you're wrong. Because you need your family. God gave you your family for a reason, for a purpose, and you need them. And on the other side, you may not realize it, but your family needs you. Your family would not be as good, as fun, as bright as God designed it to be without you. And so nothing would be better if you were removed from the picture. Nothing would be better in your life if you were to disappear, if you were to run away, if you were to be placed in a different family. Your family needs you. You need your family, and your family needs you. And so we need to begin to live like that, like the way Paul just described here, with humility and gentleness and patience and kindness and love. And so jump into your first discussion time as you talk about those ideas, and we'll keep rolling here. In our first clip from Home Alone, we saw Kevin, you know, getting just roasted by his family, making everyone mad. If you've seen the movie, you realize he wishes his family He wasn't with his family for Christmas. Like, his one Christmas wish is for him to spend Christmas alone because he doesn't want his family around. And through a series of coincidences and random things, his family leaves him at home alone, and they fly off to this Christmas vacation. He's now spent 2 days or so alone without his family over Christmas, and we're going to check back in with him now after he has lived what he thought was his dream. And after a couple days, though, he starts to have a change of heart. And so let's watch this. Hopefully it won't take something as dramatic as that, you know, being away from your family for 2 days over Christmas to help you realize how great your family really is and help you learn what Kevin learned, and that is that, remember, you need your family and your family needs you. And so first we've got to remember that no family is perfect. It's not going to be perfect, but it can be up to me to, number two, make this Christmas different. I can make this Christmas different in my family, in my circle of friends, in my life, and in my own heart. And here's how you do that. This is the big idea for the whole night. We've waited all this time to get to this point. The big idea is this, that what's on the inside is what matters most. No matter what kind of chaos is happening around you, in your family, with your friends, at school, God wants to see how your heart is doing. God wants to know how your heart is doing because what's on the inside matters most. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, "The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." What if you changed from the inside out this year? If from your heart outward, you begin to change and make Christmas different because you focused on getting your heart right with God more than all the other junk and stuff that's out there, the good and the bad that Christmas brings. What do you think would happen if you choose to saw your family as a gift rather than a burden this Christmas? What would happen if you saw your friends as people to serve rather than the people to hang out with? What would happen if you saw that person that annoys the crap out of you as someone that you can show love to instead of someone that you just put up with? Even when people are getting on your last nerve, you want to get away. What if you decided to treat people with the kind of love that the Apostle Paul talked about in Ephesians? So let's go back to those verses and see what we should be like on the inside, because what's on the inside is what matters most, and that's how you can make this Christmas different. So in verses 1 through 3, we'll just start at the beginning here and look at every action and character and attitude that pops out. He says, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all what? Humility." So what if you were humble instead of proud? These are the things, this is the way that a heart makes a difference. So you've got some, I think, seven spaces below there at the bottom. This is a heart that makes a difference, the humble heart. What if you were humble instead of proud? Instead of always trying to get the last word in, proving your point, arguing back, back-talking, if you were humble and you lowered yourself to put others first. Humble. What if you were gentle instead of aggressive? Instead of raising the volume to the next level, instead of always saying something to cut someone down, what if you chose gentleness and you became meek for the sake of others? With all humility and gentleness, with what? Patience. What if you were patient instead of harsh? You didn't always have to get that last word in. You didn't always have to get upset about your brother or sister who were slowing you down. You didn't always have to get upset about your parents who weren't doing what you thought they were doing when they should be doing it. But you were patient. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in what? Love. What if you were loving this Christmas instead of hateful? And you know those phrases and those words that just you shoot out of your mouth, just out of a heart of hate, that sinful heart that just boils over in a word or a phrase of hate. And you don't hate them, but you use hateful words. What if you were loving instead of hateful? Because you were eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then it moves on. In verse 31, we pick it back up. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be what? Be kind. What if you were kind instead of malicious? If you saw the best in others instead of the worst? What if your attitude toward them was kind and loving? Be kind to one another. And what's that next word? Tender-hearted. Yeah, that's not a word we use very often, but it just means compassion. If you have a tender heart, a heart that feels for others, that's compassion. What if you were compassionate instead of angry? If you saw your parents with compassion, realizing how much they love you and how they're trying their very best for your best, and if you saw your sister and your brother with compassion as a brother and sister, not just in your family but in Christ, instead of being angry, be kind to one another. Compassionate, what? Forgiving one another. Last one, what if you were forgiving? If above all this Christmas you said, I'm going to forgive. There's someone in your family that maybe you need to forgive. Maybe there's a friend that you need to forgive. And this Christmas you can make it different by choosing to forgive, to let go of the bitterness, of the memories, of the past, of the hurts and the pains. And yeah, you rightfully so could hang on to that. And they have hurt you and done things to you that they shouldn't have done. But Christ calls us to forgive. Because why? Because God in Christ forgave us. And so since Christ has forgiven you, you can forgive them. Since God has loved you even while we were sinners, we can love others. We can be kind and compassionate and humble and gentle and patient and loving towards them. You know why? Because God was those things to us when he sent Jesus to earth to die on the cross in our place to pay the price of death for our sin, that sinful heart that we have. And so you can make this Christmas different. You can choose to act like your family is a gift, because even in all their messiness and all their brokenness and all their flaws, they are. And so remember this Christmas, what's on the inside is what matters most. And so develop those. Develop humility, gentleness, patience, loving, love, kindness, compassionate, and forgiveness. Hey, why don't you guys wrap it up with your discussion time, then we'll have an activity to kind of put this into a personal way here in just a moment. Go for it.